Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
I'm Kim Grinnell of Dogman.com, along with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund. Spring ball 2021 is in the books on the
first practice, is it?
Yeah, first practice, first spring ball practice, where just to give you guys a little bit of an idea of what it was like out there today, we were, if you guys know where Touchdown Terrace is, that is the south end zone, and we were able
east
end zone, but we had to go above to the top row of that and look down upon the east field practice, and that's where we were able to view practice from. They pretty much exclusively were practicing on that east practice field. And when you're up a little bit higher, there is nothing to shield the wind, and it was a little bit chilly and a little bit windy with the wind coming off the lake, probably low 40s with that wind chill, you know, with the wind coming off. It was pretty chilly out there, but you know, they were still in shorts. All the guys were still in shorts and short sleeves, so this weather and the chilliness didn't seem to impact them as much as it did us. But you know, big news of the day post practice, Chris, Jimmy Lake had an announcement about Le'Atu Latu. Tell people a little bit about what Jimmy had to say about Le'Atu.
Basically that he suffered a neck injury sometime during fall, and or at least that's when it was diagnosed or something. We don't know exactly the genesis happened, but that's when and he had surgery. That's why he didn't play last year. And they determined that it was in his best interest to retire so that he wouldn't hurt it any more than it already is. So
when you say the words they, it wasn't UW, but I mean, from the way Jimmy understood it, they talked to NFL teams and they talked to some of the top surgeons and neck specialists throughout the country, and it seemed like they couldn't get him cleared.
Well, right. If he wants to live a normal life instead of, you know, potentially really ruining his world, because neck injuries you don't want to mess with. So he's still obviously still part of the team, still going to graduate, still going to do something with the team, whether it's as a trainer or as some other part of the team. So he'll still, you know, do everything he'd normally do, just wouldn't play and practice. So sad news, but obviously it's in his best interest, and we obviously hope that he has really good health moving forward, and it doesn't affect him the rest of his life, because that's the whole point, is to shield him from any further injury.
Yeah, real good player. You know, with that, playing that buck position, defensive end, showed a lot of promise, but is what it is. You know, if you can't play, you can't play. So he'll be missed. But a couple of other personnel changes as well, Scott.
Yeah, Gilchrist and Kaiser, there was some talk that both of those guys might have a chance to come back. There might be a door open for them to come back and play at the University of Washington. But Jimmy Lake put quash to that and just said they are both done with the program and wished them well.
And just to remind people, there was three players that opted out because of COVID last year, and it was Isaiah Gilchrist, Jacob Kaiser, and Taj Davis. Taj Davis is back with the team, and he practiced today, and we can certainly talk a little bit about him, because I thought he flashed a little bit.
Yeah, Isaiah Gilchrist, of course, he's the defensive back, played corner and safety out of Bellevue High School, and not really a surprise there. He seemed to have a tough time denting the depth chart. Jacob Kaiser was a guy who came into the University of Washington with a back problem. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with Jacob Kaiser, I think, you know, with his talent, he would have been good, but I have a feeling that maybe some of the injuries that he suffered maybe had a little bit to do with that decision as well.
Might have, yeah. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Some guys are just ready. They just see the writing on the wall and just say, hey, I'm ready to move on to the second part of, or the next part of my life, next chapter, and they want to close this one. It didn't sound like there was any ill will from the coach. He wasn't upset, you know, about how things went down. It sounds like both of them just made the decision to leave. And, you know, those spots, not to be callous or anything, but those spots open up places where other guys can come in and make contributions.
And when we take a look at what was going on today, even though Washington has their starting quarterback from last year returning in Dylan Morris, there's still a lot of attention on the three scholarship quarterbacks out there. Dylan Morris was running with the ones. It was pretty evident that Patrick O'Brien was running with the twos, and Sam Heward was running with the threes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and interesting to see Sam line up under center. I think I had talked to Damon, and we had talked about it, and Sam hadn't taken a snap under center other than maybe to kill a clock in – since he was like in peewees, you know, it's been a while for him. So no bad exchanges that I saw. Chris, you did say there was one.
There were a couple.
Was that under center when he did that?
Yeah, there were a couple. Okay. And to be honest with you, he wasn't the only one. I mean, there was a lot of sloppiness on the offense, which mm-hmm. we can talk about.
A lot of drop passes
and things like that. But typical day one stuff. I mean, I don't, you know, everyone's going to get alarmed when you hear that. But it's like, guys, this is literally the first time and they've gotten a chance to play together.
And
so
it's practice.
In the first bad snap, the left tackle, I think half the line moved early on that. So, you know, whether that was anybody's fault. But
they were running in their final period. They were running a drill where they were going. It was a full team. 11 on 11, and they were trying to score with a limited clock, and they get to a third and short, and Jalen McMillan pops offside, and the whole defense goes nuts, and you could tell the offense was – I mean, it just – they're working out the kinks, clearly.
Yeah, when you take a look at those three quarterbacks, Dylan Morris looked like Dylan Morris today, and then Patrick O'Brien, the thing that stood out most about him is he's a big dude, and then, you know, Sam's got to put some weight on. He's about 190 pounds. He'll naturally fill out and get bigger, but, you know, he's got a little bit of growth to do there. But, you know, that delivery he has.
Oh, it's pretty.
I mean, it's just I equate it to Ken Griffey Jr.'s swing. He's that pretty when he throws the ball.
Absolutely. He looks it's a beautiful ball coming off. I remember talking to one of our old friends, Johnny DeRocher. We were talking about left-handed quarterbacks, and he said there is nothing prettier than a well-schooled left-handed quarterback. For whatever reason, it just looks different coming off of their hand than it does on than right-handed guys who are just as talented and just as skilled.
It just looks so effortless. Yeah. I mean, it just looks like, you know, he's lobbing the ball, which he is a lot of the time. But, you know, he's spinning the ball, tight spiral. But, you know, he had his moment, too. And I asked Jimmy Lake, he had an interception. Is that more of a mistake on his end? Or is this like, holy crap, you know, because Zion got him. And he's never faced anybody like that.
280 pounds getting up, probably showed off what, mid-30s vertical to get up.
You know, UW football will post some tweets and they'll do some practice stuff and they'll do a little highlight reel of stuff. If they were not running video when Zion made that pick, it's unfortunate, because at 280 pounds he flashed some real hops, and it was it was one of those classic ones where he's playing along the line, he kind of sneaks up, and then all of a sudden the quarterback's going to throw the ball and he is literally just right there. I mean, he is almost in his face. And it was an incredible snag. It was one of the – definitely, to me, it was the highlight of the practice.
Yeah, I was trying to get out of Jimmy whether that was a mistake and he was mad at Sam, or if he kind of snickered a little bit because, you know, I know you haven't seen this before, but it was funny. But it was great to see Sam out there. But, you know, give me your impressions. I know we didn't really have that much live out there today, but Patrick O'Brien, what'd you see, Scott?
I saw a guy who stands tall in the pocket. He moves really well. Didn't see him throw on the run real well.
Deja vu-ish to me because of, you know, there weren't
Eason.
10.
Yeah.
He's Eason. I mean, he's basically looked like Jacob Eason.
He did. I mean, he's essentially Jacob Sermon out there from a body standpoint. Right. 6'5", 240, 245 pounds. Big kid. Can do a lot of different things. has experience and all those kind of things. So it's going to be interesting to see how he handles things. Dylan Morris, I thought he looked pretty good throwing the ball around. Very compact throwing motion. All three of the quarterbacks looked really good throwing the ball for the most part. I mean, there were some mistakes. They made some bad reads. But for the most part, I thought the quarterbacks were okay. A lot of the sloppiness that I saw, I mean, there was the overthrow from Dylan Morris that got picked. But, you know, other than that, it was almost all maybe a drop by a wide receiver, running back, tight end, or it was just a great play by one of the defensive backs or DNs. Or
whatever. To me, it was a lot of drops today.
Yeah.
A lot of drops.
Yeah, just, you know, Chris, we're so used to seeing Dylan Morris and what he did, and he was just being Dylan, you know, and the new guy was Patrick O'Brien, and, of course, Sam Huer. Just your take on the two new guys.
Well, yeah, again, like I said, I even posted on the board. I said there was some very deja vu-ish moments today with O'Brien looking like Jacob Eason or Jacob Sermon. But to me, it was Eason. You know, he was looking like number 10 out there. And then with Heward, I mean, he just, again, going back to what Scott said and to echo what Johnny DeRocher was saying, I mean, you see the righties throw the ball, and then all of a sudden you see him throw the ball in the same routes, because a lot of times they're just running same routes and same drills, and it just looks different, and it pops in a different way. And it just, for whatever reason, it looks pretty. It just looks pretty when he's doing it. And there were a couple throws where clearly, like the Zion throw, where, you know, they're trying to work. They're trying to work short, intermediate, long routes. I mean, they're trying to do everything to try to get everything going. Jimmy Lake talked about it today. One of the things that they've really emphasized, they just want to go ton of reps. Like, there's no standing around. They just want to go reps, reps, reps. And so they're throwing it to all different levels, and you could see, you know, some situations where it was he found some things very easy, and then he was looking for some other things and got really confused. And a lot of times it wasn't just him too, because another thing that Jimmy Lake said, Kim, right off the bat, was this was because there was no spring ball in 2020. This was the first spring ball for almost half the team, or well over half the team. And you could see it. I mean, there were guys running into each other on routes. Defensive backs were running into each other in routes. And it was just, sometimes there was a lot of mass confusion. But with the quarterback specifically going back, again, first day, mixed bag. But, boy, you can see the potential. And the three guys, you call the three scholarship quarterback, the three-headed monster type thing, you can see all three of those guys have the potential to run this offense and run it
they
well.
They belong. All three of them belong. But, you know, even, you know, when we saw some good things from the quarterbacks, there were some turnovers too, some interceptions,
yeah.
Scott.
Yeah, so one of the interceptions wasn't really Patrick O'Brien's fault, because he threw a pass to Taj Davis, but he bobbled it, and Alfonso Tupatala ends up snatching it out of the air and going. That was the first pick of the day. So first horn of the day was to him. Then Dylan Morris has the overthrow to
we thought it was Rome, but
our vantage point, it's kind of tough to
yeah
see
Jalen
sometimes.
McMillan was running the route over route, and yeah. I think it was Rome that was coming short, and I think Dylan was trying to get over a linebacker or over mm-hmm. a defensive back, and it got picked off by James Smith.
Yeah, who boy, does he look the part, man. If he can come out there and play, he's pretty good. He looks pretty good.
You made the observation, Scott, and I think it was right on, that, you know, you see him wear 27, and who was wearing 27 when he first started out was Keith Taylor.
Yeah.
And he looks a lot like Keith Taylor.
Yeah, so and then the last one we already kind of talked about, the ZTF pick. So all three quarterbacks had a pick today, but I think overall – from their standpoint, it wasn't that bad of a day. I mean, obviously, we don't know the play calls. We don't know the reads and everything like that. But, you know, I thought the quarterbacks, for their first time out, especially Sam Huard with his first time throwing against college defenses, I thought all of them looked relatively good today.
Yeah, I think they got a lot accomplished, mm-hmm. but there was a lot that was not clean mm-hmm. at all.
Offensive line, a little bit of mix and match there. Don't know if that
always
was,
is. Always
yeah,
is in the
yeah.
spring.
Talk a little bit about the mix and matches on the offensive line, Chris.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was just going to say real quick. I mean, the first teamers are first teamers. So you've got Jackson Kirkland and Vic Kern at the tackles. You've got MJ Ale. You got Henry Bain Avalu at the guards, and then you've got Luke Wattenberg coming back at center. So that first line looks really, really tight. But now all of a sudden you got some movement on the second line from what we saw. We saw Corey Luciano taking reps at the second center. You know, I think
– And Mateo Mele.
And Mateo Mele. But Mateo Mele was working out at right tackle as well. So you had some movement there. Obviously, I think they really, really like Troy Fautanu at the left tackle, too. And they like Nate Kaleppo at left guard. I think they like Julius Bulow at the right guard position as well. But there was some movement at the center spot. And then Garen Hatchett taking reps at center as well, which is something I don't know if we were expecting, but
I don't know if I was expecting it now, but I do know from talking to him and his dad that they told him to be ready to play guard or center when he showed up here. Now he's been here for a year and a half, or I guess a year or whatever it is. But I think Miles Mirau got some work as the right guard with the second unit as well. So Bulow is in there. That I think he's probably the number one second right guard, but I think Miles Mirau, they want to get him on. They want to see about getting him on the field somewhere.
That's what I was going to say. What I was going to say is by not seeing as much of him at center, I think they're really trying to find a place for him, and I think they probably really like what he could possibly do behind Henry Bainavalu. Mm-hmm. That's what it's at least that's what it's looking at the first practice. But again, can't make any hard and fast rules about these things.
For people who haven't been out at spring practices or even some fall practices, at least early on, man, Scott Huff and the guy before him, Chris Strouser, and then I think Cazzetto did that a lot too when he was here. They just mix and match guys. They throw them in at different positions. I think part of it's trying to stress them and say, hey, you need to go in there and play on an opposite side. How are you going to handle it? Because that might happen in a game. And they want to put these guys under stress and see how they react to it, but also see, okay, Henry Bainavalu and Vic Kern are pretty good together, but is Bulow good with Kern if we have to sub out Henry Bainavalu, or is Miles Mirau going to do better with, you know? So they're just trying to see different mix and match and see who fits better where. I think the first unit, offensive line, I don't think that's going to change at all until the end of the season, and then when guys leave or whatever. But I think you could see some stuff where guys, some of the guys down the depth chart, do work with the first unit just to see how they handle things.
Yeah. Clearly, I think they really like Luciano. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they clearly think he's a smart guy. They think he can run it, be the quarterback of that offensive line. I think that's pretty clear. The other thing, too, is I'm pretty sure I saw the all redshirt freshman line. I think I'm pretty sure I saw it, which meant that Hatchett would be at center, and then you had Morale at right guard, but then you had Gard Memelaar at left guard, and then the two tackles would have been Rosengarten at left tackle and Peacock at right tackle. Mm-hmm. I think I saw that. I'm pretty sure.
With the fours, yeah.
It'll be interesting if we see Corey Luciano. He's put the weight back on because they were using him as a tight end out of need. It'll be interesting to see if they use him at that spot at all as that extra blocking tight end and possibly even put him in the backfield since he's done a little bit. But MJ Ale, guys, 365 pounds. Are his calves as big as my head?
Probably.
Surprised me. Henry Bainavalu had a clear out block on somebody on a linebacker that came right up the middle. Or I'm sorry, Thule came right free right up the middle. Bainavalu comes off of his guy, just hammers him, and Caleb Berry cuts right off of it and goes right up the middle for about 20 yards. So very impressive watching Henry Bainavalu. I've said it before, been saying it for a while. Henry Bainavalu, from everything I've talked to different people that have been around the program for a long time, he could be the best. Well, he's definitely the most talented lineman in the program right now. But some of these guys have been telling me he's a top five from a talent standpoint, offensive lineman to ever play in this program. I think that's saying a lot.
I think we have a new candidate for the go home and burn all your shirts because you don't need to wear one. Dominique Hampton looks huge.
6'2", 220, man. Just big dude. They're dropping him down in the box as a safety. He looks like he's made the move to safety, although it's really hard to tell.
I didn't see him line up at corner at all.
I didn't see him at corner at all either. So, I mean, it looks like Gordon and McDuffie are your two outside corners right now. But, man, Hampton looks big. He looks physical. Likes to come up and play. Guys, Cam Williams was covering the slot a little bit too when they went to different formations and everything like that. So, yeah, but Dom Hampton, big guy.
Does he look like they're going to play him a little bit like they did Zeke Turner and JoJo?
Yes, I think that's probably.
He's bigger than JoJo.
He is. He's bigger than JoJo, and he's about the same size as Turner.
And, yeah, I mean, when you can have that guy, you know, can cover and that size and play – basically a safety. You can line him up on the line. I mean, he can do. He could be a real versatile guy. He could be a key to this defense.
Yeah, I think so. It was interesting because, you know, you're looking at some of the newcomers. You want to see how Jeremiah Martin looks. You want to see how Bookie Riley Hiles looks. You know, we were talking about Bookie Riley Hiles. He certainly looks like he just fits right in to what they're doing in terms of what Miles Bryant was all about, Elijah Molden, those kind of guys. So it was good to see how he fit in right away. But just in general, the defensive backs, you know, Asa Turner, Cameron Williams, you know, Jacoby Covington back there. I mean, I think that safety group is starting to establish itself quite a bit. It was good to see guys like James Smith and Elijah Jackson. We, you know, again, the redshirt freshmen, you wonder how they pop. I thought they both had a really nice practice. They seemed to stand out to me. But Cameron Fabiculainen out there as well. It was curious because the first time I saw really the first team defense line up, it was Kyler Gordon on the one side, but then it was Cameron, it was Kinchin on the other side, and I was thinking, well, where's Trent McDuffie? And he was over on the other side of the field working with another group. But then when they came out and they were really showing the ones, it was definitely McDuffie and Gordon out wide, that as you would have expected.
We all see things differently at practice, and we all tend to notice things different because we're doing other work as well. But is it me, or did I see more of Cam Williams and Dominique Hampton than I did Asa Turner?
Yes, you're right on that. Asa Turner got some run with the ones, but it was very little compared to those two.
And that might just be some things that they're working on. I wouldn't read too much into it, but it's definitely
first day of practice.
Yeah, we'll keep our eye on that and see. But I don't
same with Alex Cook. I mean, he just, again, like I was telling people on the message board, I didn't necessarily think Terrell Bynum had a real super standout practice, but he's there, he's present. And no one's going to doubt that he's the number one receiver right now. They're just guys. Certain guys pop and certain guys don't on certain days. And again, probably not best to read too much into it.
Depends on what they're trying to do. I mean, they may be trying to get looks at guys, try different looks, try different schemes, and, you know, just try different packages. Because, you know, I always talk about, you know, starters at times don't really matter. It depends on the package because they have – offensive packages and defensive packages, and just because you're not starting or in on one package, it doesn't mean a whole lot, especially on day one of spring ball. So talking about the running backs a little bit, Jimmy had to pull one back a little bit today, which was kind of funny.
Which I think more than anything, he's like, yes.
Yeah. But it's the one where you're saying no on the outside and in the inside, you're doing handsprings
Jimmy said that he'd much rather have to pull guys back than to get them energized and all that. JV on Sunday, man, just he was running where other guys were running, what would you say, 3/4 speed?
Yeah.
Probably most of the time.
Yeah.
He was going 100. He was going 100 miles an hour, 100% all the time. And he broke through the line, had a really, really nice run. And then Cam Williams came up to just, you know, give him the wrap up and say, hey, the play's over. And he lowers his shoulder right into him. You hear some pop.
He got his helmet under Cam Williams' chin. He had a little bit of FU behind it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Cam Williams did not take too kindly to it. He got right up in his face, and the coaches were like, hey, let's just break it up, you know, let's move on. Don't want any of the thing where the guys have to hold hands as they go around the
It's a day one observation where you feel like there's a guy who's trying to make a statement right off the bat. I mean, it's just when you've got seven scholarship running backs there, and all of them look good. I mean, I thought Sam Adams looked great too.
I thought he looked really good, yeah.
And I'm not saying even Sam Adams, but I'm just saying when you go back and even the redshirt freshmen are looking at it, when you've got 2 5th-year seniors that are leading the line, well, I guess it's, you know, with no Richard Newton there today, I guess it would have been the six guys. But when all six of those guys look like they're doing a pretty good job and handling their business, it takes a little something special for a guy to stand out. And I thought JV on Sunday definitely did that today.
Also, we had some transfers that made impressions today. It's Bookie, Brendan
Radley Hiles.
He sure looks the part. And then, you know, Quentin Moore, the transfer in. But
No. So the four transfers are Brendan Radley Hiles from Oklahoma, Jeremiah Martin from Texas A&M, Jalen Polk from Texas A&M, and then Patrick O'Brien. Texas Tech, and then Patrick O'Brien from Colorado State.
I'm just used to calling them JC transfers.
Yeah, no, these are transfers in from other schools.
So technically, you're right. He is a transfer,
just not from. But we're talking about the 4-year guys that transferred in. We've already talked about Patrick O'Brien looks the part. Jeremiah Martin ran in with the number ones across opposite Ryan Bowman. Granted, ZTF got in there quite a bit too with the ones but. Yeah, I thought Jeremiah Martin that guy looks so physically ready to go. Who knows if he's going to be effective, but from a look standpoint, he looked like the guy. Jalen Polk was running with the twos. He looked okay. I didn't really see any flashes from him.
It just looked solid. Yeah. I mean, for a situation where there were a lot of drops today and stuff, I didn't see that coming from him.
And then the last one would be Radley Hiles, and I thought he definitely looked the part. He was directing guys around.
Yeah, the thing about the Radley Hiles that stood out, you know, just physically, he's not the biggest guy, but he's thick, has kind of that Chico McClatcher, maybe a little bit taller build than that, but he's a little bit thicker, but boy, he brings the energy and the passion out there. I mean, I think that's the thing. It's hard to take your eyes off him because he's so energetic.
Yeah, yep. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, before we wrap this up, we're getting invaded here a little bit. But
no, just one thing. Just there, not too much special teams work to talk about, but we can talk about. There were some punt returners. We would expect Trent McDuffie and Kyler Gordon to get in there, but it also looked like Taj Davis, Roma Dunzi was a part of it as well, and Jalen McMillan. So just those guys.
And what's his face, Peyton Henry. Hit the 34-yarder and the only one that we saw.
Yeah, I mean, we had to leave early to get to the place where we do the post-game.
So we don't have practice. Crossover with
us. Yeah, so we don't have the post-practice interviews. So we miss probably the last 10 minutes of practice. So we don't know if anything else happened, but Peyton Henry did hit the one field goal that we saw.
All right. Quickly, last-minute thoughts, Scott?
First day of practice, it was fun being back out here. Feels like normal a little bit. Without the mask, that would be even better. But, I thought it looked okay. There was some sloppiness, but hopefully that gets cleaned up.
Quickly, Chris, we're getting invaded.
No, I just think that overall it was a day where you'd see a lot of mixed bag type stuff, a lot of drops, a lot of false starts and stuff like that. But there were also some really good plays and a lot of plays where they flashed out, like ZTF's pick, for instance. So again, as you would expect on day one, and they'll clean that up and they'll come back on Friday even more ready to go, I guess.
Good to be back out at football. Just a reminder, if you're looking for those daily updates as well as breaking news alerts, just shoot us a note, huskystadium@gmail.com, subject line newsletter. We will get you hooked up. Again, huskystadium@gmail.com, subject line newsletter. Also, just 50% off our introductory for annual subscriptions. So those who aren't subscribers or using somebody else's password, no better time than now. Lots of spring football coverage coming up very soon. So for all of us at dogman.com, I'm Kim Grenolds, along with Chris Fetters, Scott Eklund, Go Ducks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.